Why did Christianity cheapen baptism? And why do pastors not get up and tell you why it's important so when people come into the fold and acknowledge of Jesus Christ, they don't feel the urge to be baptized? Amen? Baptism, if I asked for somebody to write me a definition from a church perspective, and I got all 26 churches in Coshocton to participate, this is about what would be brought up. It's baptism by immersion. In a public action of a believer that they have placed their faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The death and burial of Christ is symbolized when you are immersed in the water. When you're brought up out of the water, the resurrection of Christ is symbolized as well. Romans 6, 3 through 6 reads like this. Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in death like this, then we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection, which is the hope of Christ. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves unto sin. So if the Christians goes to the passage in Romans that I just read and they read that and then they give me a definition, they would tell me this. I'm going to get baptized so that my sins are forgiven, and it is a public acknowledgement. I am showing other people through an act of faith, through works, that I am a Christian. And to be quite frank with you, that is not a strong enough reason to drive people to want to get baptized, because the statistic says that 80% of the people that go to one of God's houses of worship does not find it necessary. Does that bother anybody but me? Amen? So what is the job? The job is to stop cheapening baptism. The job is to tell you the truth. The job is to tell the world why God ordained baptism. Amen? Amen. Let's go with a different example. If I asked, and I'm not at the moment, but if I asked if you are saved, how do you know you're saved? Well, I said the sinner's prayer. 100% of the people in the room that say that they are saved because they said the sinner's prayer, that would be the case. Because the way that you get saved is by praying Romans 10, 9 and 10. For if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the grave, then thou shalt be saved. 100% of you would agree with me that to be saved you got to say the sinner's prayer. But we got some preachers standing up somewhere telling us that you're going to get your sins forgiven when we baptize you also. So people don't see the need to do both. You follow me? All right? So to take the cheap off of it, we have to look at a couple of different things. We really need to look at what did baptism mean in the time of Jesus? What did baptism mean in the time of Jesus? It meant this right here. To receive the Spirit of God. So if I told you to get baptized means that you're going to receive the Spirit of God, all of a sudden the 80% turns to 100%. Not, well, it's just the same as praying the sinner's prayer. To receive the Spirit of God, or to be permitted to stand in the presence of God. The presence of God, the Hebrew word right there, translates to Shekinah glory. Who knows what Shekinah glory is? Who knows what it is? Shekinah glory is when God shows up and he settles. He dwells. You ought to punch somebody and tell them, I need God to dwell and settle. That's what we should be doing, is seeking after the Shekinah glory. And in the Old Testament times, they understood that you wasn't going to get the dwelling if you didn't get the baptism. But we cheapen it. Ezekiel 36 and 25 is where we find it. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. In the Old Testament, they did a sprinkling. As time evolved, then they went to dunking. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean from all of your filthiness. From all of your idols will I clean you. The early Jewish people called this baptismal font, they called it a mikveh. A mikveh was, it could be at your house. Many, many people, even today that are Jewish in religion, they have mikvehs, baptismal pools in their homes, and they have them in the streets. If you go to Jerusalem today, they've been excavated. You can walk down on them. You can look at them. The ancient ones are there. The ones that Jesus would have passed by are still there. And they viewed it like this. You would go into the mikveh dirty on the inside and the out, and when you come out, you are clean on the inside and the out. You see, back in the Old Testament, when the people, the priest that was penning and they was writing their own version of the Torahs and the Bibles, and the priest, before the kings could become a king of Israel, they had to write their own books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had to pen them with their own hand. The Bible tells us that they had to write it. They had to see it, they had to read it, they had to hear it in order that they could better lead God's people. They didn't want some nobody getting up to lead that didn't know nothing. So they told you, if you're going to lead us God's way, you're going to write it. Amen? And let me tell you what's special about that is every time they came to the word Yahweh or Adonai or God, they stopped writing before they got to the word, put the pen down, and they went and washed themselves in a mikveh, in a pool of water or a large pot that was around the temples or the tabernacles, the kings of the homes, or where they was penning the word of God. They would go wash themselves clean, pray and repent, come back and continue with the word God, Adonai, Yahweh, and continue forward until they came to it again. These was very clean people. They wouldn't even say the word God. If you ask a true Judaic believer to write the word God for you, they'll write G-D because they don't feel worthy to even say His name. That's reverence. That's reverence. Do we have reverence like that? No, because we've cheapened things. People throw around the word of God in even disrespectful ways, and they think nothing about it because it's cheapened. And it's a preacher's job to put some new sales tags on it. Resurrect, revive, bring back. Can I get amen in the house? Amen. So baptism, whenever they would go into the mikveh, they would walk down into it. They would confess their sins out loud. I'm sure at times that was some dirty business. Confession is good for the soul. They would confess their sins out loud, and they would start to repent. Father, I need you to forgive me. Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to wash me. I need you to make me whole. I need you to show up in my life. And they would stay in the water until they felt that the presence of God had washed over them and made them clean. In the old days, I think we would have called it praying through. They stayed until they prayed through. They didn't worry about the person behind them waiting to get in. They stayed until the job was done. And then they come out of the pool. There was an interesting thing that happened right when they come out of the pool. When they came out, they was not only clean on the inside and the outside, they was also committed to doing it God's way. Because I don't know better. I've proven to myself that I don't know better. So they went down and took all their filth, and they took all their dirt, and they took all their failures, and they took all their mishaps, and they took everything, all that trash. They repented of it, and they left it, and they come out, and they said, you know what, God, I want to commit to you. I want to do it your way. doesn't make us perfect, but it takes the cheap off of it. Amen? We're not just baptizing somebody to get them wet. Forgiveness of sins. No. We're recognizing that they're saying, Lord, I don't know the best way. I don't know the best way. We lay down and we come up and we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament, Psalms 24:3. So who may ascend into the mountain of the Lord and who may stand in His holy place? And then verse number 4 answers it. The one that has a clean hand and a pure heart are the ones that can ascend the mountain of God. Amen. So who better to learn about baptism than Jesus, right? Right? Jesus got baptized. So Jesus is born. He becomes about 12 years of age. He is down in the marketplace around the tabernacle, the temple, with his parents. His parents misplaces them. I don't know how that happens. I've misplaced a few kids. His parents lose them. They find themselves in a frantic, just like we would. They're humans. We could put themselves in the place. They hunt him down, and they're looking, and they're like, where is this? Where is Jesus? They find him teaching in a synagogue. And they walk up to him, and they basically say this, son, what are you doing? And Jesus looks at him, and he says, what are you doing? I'm about my Father's business, right? I'm about my Father's business. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't really know about the rest of you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And then it goes quiet. It goes quiet. You hear nothing of Jesus until he's 30 years old. By the way, Jesus got baptized in the fall part of the year. So congratulations to anybody getting baptized in the fall part of the year. When he's almost 30 years old, we see he shows up down at the River Jordan. He shows up down at the Jordan, and he walks up, and he finds a crazy cousin of his. John the Baptist, right? Yeah, we all got a few crazy cousins, but his was John the Baptist. I get some amens on that, okay? He shows up down at the Jordan, and he walks up to John, and I imagine he says something like this. He says, John, how are you today? The greeting. And they're like, oh, I'm doing good. How are you, Jesus? He says, I need to be baptized. And John looks at him and he says, do you not know that I've been walking around saying as a voice crying out in the wilderness with my hair all messed up and nowhere to sleep? I've been eating locust bugs and I stink. If it wasn't for the river, I'd be filthy. And I'm telling people that a person is coming after me whose sandals that I'm not even unworthy to unlatch. He looks at Jesus and he says, I need to be baptized by you. But wait a minute. We haven't heard anything from when he was 12 until he's 30. But what John says to him, I need to be baptized by you, not you baptized by me. Obviously, Jesus was at work. The Bible tells us that if Jesus, everything that he would have done would have been written and would have been penned down. The Bible tells us that all the books in the world would not even be able to contain them. And your stories are in one of those books. Wouldn't even be able to contain them. We'd have more books than we got water. More books than you have mountains. Amen? Amen. John gets done and Jesus says, no. He didn't actually say this, but he should have. 13 times Jesus says these three words, it is written. Every time Jesus says it is written in the Old Testament, you can go back to the Old Testament and find it. Because Jesus knew that certain things had to be fulfilled in order for the Messiah to die and be buried and be resurrected for mine and your sins. Every time he wrote for it is written, that's him bringing a prophecy into pass. He doesn't say that here, but there's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, that says that there's going to be a crazy guy out in the wilderness running to and from, crying out with a loud voice, saying that the one who comes after me is going to be great. And the Bible says, actually puts it like this, that we need to make a highway in the desert, is what it says. And Jesus says, yeah, I get it, but we have to fulfill all that was written. So John agrees. John takes him and they walk down into the river. And he lays Jesus back. When you lay back in the water of baptism, you take on the death of Jesus. You're saying, thank you for dying for me. When you're fully immersed in the water, you're taking on the burial of Jesus. You're in the tomb with him. It's quiet. It's dark. You don't hear anything but the splashing of the water. And in the moment, you're thinking, this is silent as the grave. And then in a moment, you come up out of the water. That's taking on the resurrection of Jesus. The Old Testament tells us that surely if we take on the death burial of Jesus, then too we get to partake in the resurrection also. As Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens open up and a voice speaks loudly and says, behold, I believe it's verse 15 of the Jesus baptism story. He says, behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Now, the only issue that I have with this is why was Jesus 30? He was in the temple at 12. He was obviously teaching, visiting the synagogues, preaching, until he got to be 30. But why 30 years old? The Bible tells us that we have to obey the law of the land, not just eat of the word, the bread of God. Jesus knows this also. In order for Jesus to have been the Messiah, he would have had to have adhered to the culture of the Judaic priest. They could not be baptized and placed into the role of rabbi. Jesus is never called rabbi until after he's baptized. It's because in Judaic ruling culture, you had to be 30 to be baptized. Numbers chapter 4, verse 3, if it serves me correctly, tells us that from the age of 30 to the age 55 is when the priest is to conduct his duties within the temple. Not only did he have to go through everything he had to go through, the beating on the back, the ridicule and being put down for me and you, he had to worry about Isaiah 40. He had to worry about Numbers 4:3. And he didn't forget a letter. And he did all of it for you. He did all of it for you. Selah. When you find that word in the Bible, it means shh. Just take it all in and think about it. In a moment, as concert effort, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to ask for the remission of our sins. In your head, you can tell God what you did wrong. Neighbor don't need to know it. Get it out. Take the cheap off of it. Let me tell you something. To say that somebody woke up and they went to work and they stole something while they at work, for them to think that nobody saw that, that's one thing in your head. To think that nobody saw it is up to you. That's in your head. But God knows, and eventually other people will know too, because your sins will find you. I'm going to get y'all to preach back before this is over. Amen. Your sins will find you out. Confession's good for the soul. If you don't get it out, you can't forgive yourself of it so that you can receive full forgiveness. We carry around guilt. We carry around hostilities towards ourselves sometimes. We carry around an attitude of why would God heal me? Why would he deliver me? Why would he do anything for me? Because you know what you've done. Amen. We all live there. I'm giving you the opportunity in a couple of minutes Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for treating people nasty. I'm sorry for stealing something when I was five. I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry for being hateful to my kids. I'm sorry for saying such and such to my boss. I'm sorry for, I don't know what it is. You got to get it out. You got to deal with it. You got to take the cheap off forgiveness. The only way to take the cheap off forgiveness is to get it out. Because it's hard to get it out, to close your eyes and to try to see God's face. God, I took something that wasn't mine. How much harder is that than to do this? Lord, forgive me of my sins. Amen. It's hard to know God is standing there in your face looking at you and you tell him what you've done wrong. Take the cheap off of it. Don't rob yourself. We're going to repent. We're going to pray in concert. And then very shortly after that, I'm going to dismiss the baptism. People to come to the back to go ahead and start preparing. Remember this. Right before we pray. Mark 16, 16, if I'm right. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. The 80% probably missed that. Because somebody didn't find it important to tell them. 80% probably missed that. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Amen. Would you bow your heads all over the house? All over the house. God, we want to take the cheap off of your house. We want to take the cheap off salvation. It is a wonderful gift. The Bible tells us, Revelation 12, that salvation belongs to our God. Take the cheap off. Take the cheap off baptism. It's serious business to confess the sins and say, I'm sorry. To get it out. To lay down into Jesus' grave and then to come up. Say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. I don't want to do it haphazard and I don't want to do it ignorantly. I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. Father, as each and every individual is praying, forgive them of their sins in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, your word tells us that if the wicked change our way, as a matter of fact, it says it like this, for if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear, and I'll heal their land. We're acknowledging, Lord, we're not perfect. Father, in Jesus' name, from the top of every head to every sole of every foot, warmth of the holy presence, I pray your presence now. In Jesus' name. Forgive. Cast as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, when we commence the amen in just a moment, assign your people commitment. Speak to them. Lay something on their heart. Call them according to your will and purpose. And everybody shouted, amen. 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 In my closing, Acts 22:16 says this, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." But I really, really love the NIV translations. It says, "And what are we waiting for? Get up. Arise and in the name of the Lord, be baptized and wash your sins away." Amen? Amen. Those that are being baptized, would you please come through the side door over here? Would you please show them the changing rooms for me? Thank you. Amen. Today is a wonderful day. When somebody says the sinner's prayer and they accept Jesus into their heart, the Bible tells us that... Kaya, hold on 1 second. The Bible tells us that they are angels in heaven. They're rejoicing over you. Amen? Amen. I believe the angels are going to rejoice today over baptism. Not cheap, not watered down, not haphazard baptism, but baptism. Amen? Amen. All right. Would y'all please bring that beautiful little baby up here? This got sprung on at the last moment, but I really wanted to share it with you. This little angel here is the first grandbaby. Amen. You know, we talk about baby dedications, and we know that it's a time that we say, "Lord, you know, we want you to take this little one into your arms," right? But I think it is more so for the parents with the job of raising children than I do just the child. So as we pray, I'm going to ask you to stretch your hands forward. I'm going to ask you to stretch your faith. I'm going to ask you to maybe move out of comfort zone just a little bit and say, "God, anoint the child, anoint the parents that they can do the right thing, that they can say the right thing." This is my daughter and son-in-law, and we are so very happy that they're able to be here with us today. And look at that little one. "I know why you're asleep, because you screamed last night." All right. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Would you please stretch your hands this way? Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that you take this little one. You wrap your arms, your Holy Spirit around her. You take care of her all the days of her life. Father, that they would raise her up in the way that they should go. That no one would depart from it. Not her, not them, not anyone, God. I ask for your influence. I ask for your mercy, your grace, and your power. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everybody shouted. Amen. Amen. I told you I was going to get you all to preach before we was done. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may go on back. Again, thank you so much for sharing this this wonderful day with my family and my friends. And we will be back shortly, right?